The death of God is about the drying up of a horizon of meaning and of a whole form of human life.
Where do we stand in the illusion it makes? What kind of space are we invited into?
The material relations between people become social relations between things. When we look at toasters, corn, and TVs,
to a large extent, live in the interregnum between worlds, if you will, or between paradigms. Not many people in the history of the world have faced that.
Zero Squared is the Zero Books podcast.
Peter Hudis is a professor of the humanities and philosophy at Oakton Community College and a member of the IMHO, or International Marxist Humanist Organization. And in this episode of the Zero Books podcast, we attempt to discuss the idea that African Americans are the vanguard of revolutionary socialism, but pretty quickly get stuck discussing just how or whether the racial categories that have arisen historically and are familiar to us today are intrinsic to capitalism as a mode of production. It's Wednesday, March 6, 2019, and I'm Douglas Lane, the publisher of Zero Books and the host of this podcast. This week's podcast is available in full for our patrons. Our Patreon supporters get access to two podcasts every week, Symptomatic Redness and Zero Squared. But if you're listening on our free feed, you'll always be able to access one or the other podcast each week. I hope you enjoy them. If you enjoy the Zero Books podcast or Symptomatic Redness, please do leave a review on iTunes. And if you really enjoy them, then join us on Patreon. The music you're listening to right now is Charles Ives' The Unanswered Question, as performed by the Chicago Symphony. But in just a moment, you'll be listening to Peter Hudis and I discuss if, how, and why our current racial categories are integral or part of the core of capitalism. What I was getting at is when it comes to intersectionality, I don't see how – I had not heard an explanation of intersectionality that doesn't rely on kind of a basic liberal – framework.
I think you have to expand your reading list. There's quite a few people.
Okay, well, I'm asking you to give me an explanation. I'm asking you to say, what is intersectionality that I'm missing?
Well, you can have a revolutionary intersectional perspective that says that the logic of capital cannot fundamentally be targeted, let alone uprooted, unless racism and sexism are targeted fundamentally, inseparable from any critique of the economic system. And I think that capitalism is overdetermined by all kinds of forms of alienation and oppression, and it can't be taken down by focusing on one dimension. It has to be taken down by focusing on the numerous stilts upon which capitalism is built. One of those stilts is clearly racism, it's clearly misogyny, homophobia. It's not only built on the stilt of class, although that's central to capitalism. And if you're going to take down, if you're going to try to take down class, hierarchical class relations in a society where class relations are themselves structured by racial considerations and racial factors, then there's no way not to be an adequate proponent of the class struggle without conceiving of the struggle against racism as endemic to and integral and intrinsic to the liberatory project. There may be some.
I see something like homophobia is very much like obviously connected.
What is
homophobia?
Right,
as very clearly connected to the material foundations of a society. And in other words, that the reason why homosexual behavior was so stigmatized and made taboo was because it was disruptive to the kinds of family units and community structures that set up production, and say the feudal era, and then agricultural phase of capitalist development, and that it's only been as we've become more and more of us have become urban and more atomized that homosexuality has become destigmatized.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So to me, the idea that homophobia stands alone outside of our understanding of class. I don't think you can understand it at all, except maybe religiously, as competing religious convictions, without that explanation of how sexuality is regulated in various kinds of
being
social orders.
Having an intersectional perspective doesn't necessarily mean you obscure class or occlude class.
Right, but once you start to include class and you see it as primary, that's, to me, when you say class is primary, that's the thing.
What does it mean to say class is primary in the United States? It doesn't mean the same thing to say class is primary in China. The historical materialist deals with the specific material conditions in any given society. Right.
So what does it mean to say class is primary in the United States, do you think?
What it means to say is that class is primary. I don't know what it means to say class is primary, because when people use terms like that, I don't think they know what they're talking about. If you reflect upon American history, it's probably more likely you would come away saying race is primary, because class relations themselves have been overdetermined and structured by racial determinations. I don't think there's be hard to argue that that's not the case in terms of American history. Class relations are racialized relations. They're not outside of racial relations. So these are not separate issues that are opposed to each other. They're different categories and they're different issues, but they're interwoven. And class formation in the United States from its inception has had a racial determinant to it of a very pronounced nature, more so than even most European societies, which is why it's a bigger issue in the United States than even in most European societies. Well, that's changing now because Europe is now catching up to us on this score, unfortunately.
See, what I think of when I say that class is – when I think of saying class is primary, what I mean to say is that our productive work is primary, that the ideas we have in our head, the attitudes we have, even our religious institutions or political institutions – are secondary to the productive work that we do and how we're structured productively. So I don't mean to
say how are we structured productively?
Well, we're structured productively around the exploitation of a working class and the production of value and, you know, the set of network of exchanges and the development, you know, to production of commodities. And then on top of that, you know, we're structured, the working class is structured through racial antagonism, the development of different kinds of, let's say, workplaces are developed on top of decisions by states about where funding is going to be, where the surplus is going to be sent. You know, it starts to get very complicated as you get deeper into it, but you have to start with the understanding that this level, this production of value is setting up the circumstances for everything else.
Right.